Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Welcome to another edition of Spiritual Insight with your host, Darren Bouquer. And Darren is a reader at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans. All right, before we get to him, we'll do some brief show plugs. Basically, for our network, which is now a network, the Main Street Universe Radio Network of six shows. The one you're listening to this evening is Spiritual Insight with your host, Darren Bouquer. I'm Daniel Michael, the producer, co-creator of the network, along with my friend Kevin Baird. 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Spiritual Insight with Darren Bouquer. As I mentioned, a reader in the magical city of New Orleans at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo. Now we have, on Monday evenings, Kevin Baird, Walking on the Sidewalk, Horizon Oracle's Journey, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Kevin can be found at www.templeofgaia.com. And he has artwork there and other things, as well as the Oracle cards that he himself created. So 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And he's had some great guests on his show as well, including Diana Arkenstone, who was there a while back. And then on Tuesdays, 10:30, we have our AM show, 10:30 AM, Inner Wisdom with Mary Phelan. And Mary has been a 14-year television veteran with her show Telepathic TV right here in Fairfax, Virginia. So 10:30 AM Eastern Time, Mary Phelan. Then Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time in the evening, back to the evening, and we have myself, hostess Janice R. White, and Brett Hillman, and our flagship show is Main Street Universe, also the network's name. And our guest this week is T. Thorne Coyle, who has some interesting training of her own, as well as being an apprentice to Victor and Cora Anderson, who are some of the oldest known sort of public witches in America. They were out talking about this stuff in the 1930s, before Joe Gardner, folks. So be sure to tune in to T. Thorne Coyle, who was one of their students, and she's doing her own thing now. So then, of course, on Thursdays, now we have our new hostess, Queen Mother Imaku, and she will be bringing a unique perspective, her sort of African-Egyptian perspective, and her show is 1 p.m. Eastern Time. If you look in our archives, we did an interview with Queen Mother Imaku before she did her first show with us, and we're very glad to have her on the Main Street Universe team. And that's 1 p.m., our other daytime show. Then on Friday evenings, Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour with your hostess, Jessie Ann Nichols George. Jessie is the author of 2 books, going on 4, and she's had many interesting and amazing guests on her show, including some interesting ones, I thought, of an animal farm rescue and other various things. Lots of interesting esoteric and metaphysical people as well. As well as people discussing personal issues of stress and handling various things in their past. So it's a great show for some advice and coaching and things like that. Jesse and Nicholas George, Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, 12 p.m. Friday. 12 midnight on Friday, I'm sorry. All right, and now let's bring on our host for our Sunday evening show, your host, Mr. Darren Bucaire, calling in from New Orleans. Welcome, Darren. Your mic's on.
Hello, hello. Happy Sunday, everyone. And Daniel Michael, how are you today?
I'm very well. My voice is a little bit tired because I was practicing music all day, so I was singing. I've pretty much been singing
Since
9 o'clock this morning. So,
marvelous. Wow, okay. Are you the main vocalist for your group, or?
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm looking for...
Is it the first time you've done... been the main host, or the main vocalist focal point, or
no? But I usually share the duties. I usually, because my voice is kind of deep, I usually, ideally, what I like is to team
You're
up.
Feeling like this is a first time thing for you. That's why I'm just kind of getting, a lot of messages today. So,
well, what it is that I'm throwing a lot of energy into it now, and I'm really taking the reins now. So that might be part of what you're getting, that I'm really making it about me and what I want to do. Rather than sitting back, kind of being part of something else in the same way.
Oh, good. Okay, how does that feel?
Well, I guess it feels right, since it's just me, and I'm just trying to piece together a project. So, yeah, I mean, it's just what has to be. I have to just do it my way.
It's not.
Before, I always fell into the pattern where I'd be too nice, and I wouldn't just... say, look, this is what I want to do, this is how I want to do it.
I could see you doing that, you know, like you're just trying to accommodate everybody, but at the end of the day, it's like if you've been getting into all these kind of aesthetic projects, musically or whatever, and you're getting involved and you're putting your heart into it, and it's not something that you have a singular feeling towards, then maybe it's, you know, so now you are, which has got to be kind of amazing, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I really just made a decision that even though things have been going well and that I've been working on a lot of stuff, and it's a lot of different projects, I'm like, well, I have to throw my energy into one thing and really, and this is my thing. Music is my thing. You know, it's my first thing. You know, I love radio. I love everything else that I do and want to do, but music is like, that's my number one energy right there, what I really am.
Well, it doesn't have to be separate at all, you know.
No,
I mean,
it doesn't.
Everything is synchronicity, and everything's beautiful like that, and that's why, you know, when I'm out in my temple and I'm doing a manifestation and I'm calling on the power, you know, the elemental power of, say, the ocean or whatever, then I can play a really wonderful electro song that I enjoy and incorporate that has kind of a, you know, deep Pacific sound to it, and then incorporate that, and actually it will bolster the power behind it, you know. So that way, an event that I used to do in a night that was like post, like some, you know, after hours 80s night for everybody, actually incorporates something spiritual, so it all kind of lends to each other.
Yeah, and I did want to clarify too that, yes, of course you can be them, all of those things. It's just that I have been really making an effort recently to make sure I don't forget the musical side, because that might become my main income at some point.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing that could liberate me if it does, you know, as well as
getting
into, like...
I guess I'm making a point that it doesn't all need to be separate. So don't forget about it, but also don't think of yourself as giving up time for it, because it can all be synchronous, is what I guess I'm saying.
Exactly. And that's what I've been working on. And I think I can explain it better if I say it like this. Of all the little projects I'm working on and that you work on and that Kevin I see in the chat room mentioned and everybody and Jesse, they're all working on, it's a matter of throwing the right energy. I guess I'm saying throwing, but you know what I mean? Putting the right energy into all of them and making them all work instead of becoming scatterbrained and none of them have enough energy to work.
It's true. It's true.
Because I definitely, being the Aquarius, can fall into my head, and I think I had this conversation with you before, that people that have that scatterbrain air sign quality can think they've accomplished something just because they bounced it around in their head for 3 hours.
Or told four of their friends about it.
yeah, but not actually physically.
Or told four of their friends about it. Now, I really, really need to finish my book project, and it's not it's not that ambitious. I just really need to finish it. And other things come up, and other everything else, but it's that air sign thing. It's like the, I intended to do this, and I put it out into the universe, but I didn't really put it out because I didn't put the kind of effort behind it to really make it a palpable thing. So
right. And for a while, I had definitely, I'm not trying to make the show about me, but I definitely slipped behind in the music department. So in the last few weeks, I've really been focusing on that again and getting stronger on that again. And in fact, I even went out today and I started trying to book some shows.
Well, we can talk about your weekend with as far as consulting as well, too. But that musicality, I'm telling you, I used to do a lot with music myself, and in disc jockeying or being an event coordinator, and the fact that I am missing it myself now, I'm really, because it can lend power to a lot of what I'm trying to manifest spiritually. So we all find places where we revisit things, and you definitely needed to revisit it, and another reminder for me that, I had used to have music as a huge focus in my life. And now it's an afterthought, which is not okay with me.
You did DJing. Did you ever play an instrument or ever sing or anything like that?
The recorder? Does that count? No. I've done a lot of spoken word. I happen to really love karaoke. I like being, interacting with the public and being on stage. I don't think my voice technically merits the kind of thing where I could be in a, definitely thought about a lot of different incarnations of a band I could be in. It's just, it didn't, asking my spirit guide, it just didn't feel like it was the kind of thing that would pull together in the right way. So I never really pursued it. And then, of course, the reason why is probably because this was supposed to be kind of more of my outlet, that spiritual connectivity. And I could still bring some of that lively aesthetic quality, but, through spirituality. So I think that was what my focus was meant to be.
Now, tonight, our topic is, and I want to remind everybody listening, that the phone lines will be open the whole time and are open, 760-542-4345 for readings from Darren Bouquet. And he is a professional reader at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans. And our topic tonight was releasing earthbound spirits to the next level, whatever you think the next level is. I said go towards the light. Of course, we all remember the movie Poltergeist, right? Daryl Ann. Go towards the light.
Poltergeist, I'd like to touch on that for a minute. I mean, I think that's just, you look at some of the stuff that Spielberg put together in the early 80s. I mean, it's just, some of it's just wow. I mean, really, some iconic stuff with like Raiders and everything. I was watching them, the Raiders, yesterday, and you just see how, and let me say, the fact that Hitler was trying to capture the Jews' most sacred religious artifact, I didn't quite realize as a child, that's a real big, like, F you to the, that's pretty terrible, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Considering someone who's trying to commit genocide on a people, and then, let me go take your most powerful religious artifact and use it as a weapon. Why wouldn't he realize that it might backfire? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah,
can you hear me?
No, you get my point. I'm saying,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
For the Nazis, like, why didn't they think, this might be a bad idea? Definitely.
And they were very much, in history, the Nazis were very much into a side of the occult that they sort of bought into, and they sort of twisted it, too. They took the world symbol, Norse tradition, and they literally reversed it and then called it their own. So they kind of had their own sort of twisted neo-occult religion that they created around their movement. So
right.
They might have been involved
sheer,
in a...
The
like
sheer
that.
Gall to go back into the Kabbalistic historical aspect and try to dig up the Ark and use it as a weapon is just... I mean,
yeah.
The fact that you're hating the Jews so much, and I mean, the history of the Ark is the history of the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy. You know, they used it as a weapon to protect them as the chosen people. You are trying to kill them as a chosen people, and you're going to go take their Ark? What's the, right? Crazy, right? That's just
mm-hmm.
unbelievable to me.
Oh, and there
anyway,
we go.
I guess that's what's so amazing about the movie, like as an adult watching it, if you sit back and think about that, that's really like, whoa, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty harrowing. But it's, at any rate, so when we look at the fact that Poltergeist and these movies, I think Spielberg had a very connective situation with higher energy. And when he probably consulted a lot of mediums about how things should go in that movie, and I can tell you, I don't think I've still seen a more frightening movie. And granted, I was, you know, maybe 11 or 10 when I saw it, but I mean, it was, I mean, it, to me, it just struck me as being very, very right on. And knowing now what I know as an interactive medium and as a professional, I think it was very right on. Well, you know, other than the fantastical, like, clowns coming to life and that sort of thing.
Right. I think they did a great job in that movie of fear and suspense, you know, like some of the movies, like, where the boy's in the bed and the tree's branches coming through the window and the counting down of the lightning. Of course, every kid, I think, tried that after they heard about that, right? Oh,
right.
Yeah, that's how you count down to see how close it is, you know, the thunder,
uh-huh.
you know, between the thunder and the visible lightning. And then, of course, it's like right there at one point, you know. So they had great buildup in that movie of some of the
suspense. Yeah,
the
suspense was really good. Mm-hmm. So when we encounter a spirit that's just unhappy, that's just not, it can mark a space with kind of with a very dense energy. The air seems dense. The walls seem heavy. The space itself seems oppressive. And in that case, it tends to make life a little difficult. Now, that's if there's nothing happening autonomically from the spirit to move things around, to change the environment, to whisper your name, to do any of that. It can just make the space very dense, murky, and uncomfortable. So when you have that, the first thing to do is say, okay, what's going on here? But anyone without any mediumistic training can quite simply say, you know, hello, is there anybody here? Or, you know, I am aligned with, you know, the foundation of light and, you know, and that sort of thing. However, you know, is there anything, you know, and just go into your mind's eye and do an inward meditation and see what you get. Now, you might not hear or see anything, but when you go into your meditation, you might get a distinctive feeling. And if that feeling is there's something there and it's a residue, then what you're dealing with is a residue. So I thought we could discuss what a residue is right now.
Okay. Yeah, go into that. What is,
do you know what I mean by residue, Danny Michael?
Do you mean something that's left over?
Mm-hmm.
And then you maybe even get some sort of physical involvement.
A residue demarcates a space with, or it just marks a space with a particular energy. That energy,
yeah, okay,
may be something. It's usually something not particularly pleasant. It may be something lonely. It may be something that's just confused. In my house, my first apartment in Savannah, we had this doorway that used to be. There used to be a doorway there. Well, they turned the house into a two-apartment, kind of a duplex or a double house or whatever. So that door was not there anymore. However, the man that was there as a residue, he kept just going through that door like nobody's business. Now, here's the thing. He wasn't an autonomical spirit. He wasn't an animated spirit. He didn't want anything. He didn't want to go, you know, accomplish anything. He just wanted to walk back and forth through that door. And I think because he'd done it so many times that he was largely a resident. Now, he might have had some actual part of his spirit still stuck in that residue, but
right.
for the most part, he was a residue.
And that's what I meant, like, just like a piece of something left behind. It might not be kind of like the lady that walks down the steps every night. You know, is it really a conscious being walking down those steps every night, or is it sort of an energy, what I would say, like an energy residue implant that's remaining there? Could be one, could be both.
A lot of the time, it's an energy residue. Now, can you clear that away? You may or may not be able to do it, depending on what kind of medium you're talking about. I think there is a way to do it. It's not particularly easy if it's just residue, because you may have to actually change the physical environment. You may have to change if it's a staircase, and there's the woman in black is always showing up on the staircase, then, you know, if that staircase is there, that energy, it may be marked onto the staircase. Now, I'm sure that there's some sort of ritual, and I know a couple, depending on what culture you're talking about, to clear that staircase completely of its whatever it's marked with. But it'll be the staircase. It's not the house. It's not the... Because there's no spirit to appeal to if we're talking about a residue.
Right. It would almost be more of a...
There.
At that point, it might be more of sort of an energy clearing exercise. You know, throw some salt water, do whatever your ritual is. But then again, in my opinion, if I thought it really truly was a residue, I would probably just say just let it be. You know, it's not hurting
anything. And you can let it be. You can let it be. You know, that's certainly, you know, in some people in tourist-oriented places like New Orleans and Savannah and other places like that, they want it to be there because it's a point of interest, certainly. But now the other thing is, if that residue is there and things are happening where their doors are being opened or people are being touched on the rear or their names are being spoken, their names are being spoken, then that is not a residue. That is a spirit with autonomical power that they can, you know, move around. They can make decisions. They have goals. They have intent, and they're there to do stuff. You know, their goal is to be left alone in their space. Then they may move things around, change things. It's by my experience, moving things is not the easiest thing to do for a spirit. It's just not.
Right.
The more they do it, the more they get used to doing it. So then they can, you know, it's easy to do. Now, for example, when I met my wife initially, we had she had some issues with the bedroom of this old house in New Orleans here, because the closet itself has a lock on the outside of the door. Her daughter was having some issues with that. Now, the lock on the outside of the door, the only purpose it could be is to keep something from inside the closet from opening the door.
Right.
Because it wasn't locking anyone from outside from getting in because it wasn't that kind of lock.
Right.
It was just simply to keep the door shut. And unless you were opening it from the inside, there was no reason to have that lock there. So the question is, well, why the heck is this lock there?
It was trapped.
And the answer is because the door kept opening off all the time at odd points in the day when somebody was there to see it open. So at that point, you know, and we just started dating, I said, okay, let me go. You know, this happens to be part of what I do. And I went there and I asked for that spirit to be lifted up into the light and to, you know, if they're not aligned with the unconditional light and love of the Creator and, you know, the all-powerful light of, you know, and all this. So I went into my whole giant thing and, you know, and then I sent my energy out into that closet and, you know, we haven't had that kind of issue with the closet. It's still a little, because it's been demarcated. Now the residue, I think, is still there. That's what I'm saying. The residue is a little, that's hard to get out. Right. But it's, I think, whatever that spirit was in the closet for a long time or would hide. It could have been a child that was hidden. And the only thing that would happen would be that the closet would open. That's it. So we don't have any issues with the closet at all. But that lock's still there. And it just, to me, I've seen that one other time. And that was when I lived in Vermont. And the door to the basement kept open all the time, and it had one of those slide locks on the outside of it. So let's literally look at this. It's a basement. Why would there be a sliding lock on the door to the basement unless you got trying to lock somebody in the basement?
Right. So there might have been like a few person.
It had a knob that clicked shut. An old oak door. This is Vermont. You know, this is an old oak door where if you shut it, it's not opening. Someone would have to be trying to open that door to get
right.
it open. You know, so if you're basically, that means you're trying to lock somebody in downstairs. And I swear to you, it was one of those times where I would see, we'd all be sitting at the dining room table and we would just see that basement door, just hello, just open. You know, like, hi, how's it going? And this big door. It was not, there's no wind coming from the basement. Just not happening.
Heavy door.
So dealing with those situations, those are life-changing things. And those are things that get you to a point where you can understand, okay, what are spirits that do these sort of things? Like, what's their motivation? And how can we lift them into the light so that way they're whole for the next 75 years, they're not doing the same sort of thing to the next people that move in here, you know? And why are they being tormented? What's going on? These are answers we might not know, but can we maybe help usher them into a higher plane of existence? Well, maybe, yeah. It's certainly possible. I know I've done it on a number of occasions, more than 10. So, and am I sure that they're on that higher plane? At the time, I felt like there was no doubt in my mind. Am I saying right now that I'm 190% sure that they're still there? Not 190, but I'm pretty sure that they're lifted. I know the space that they were in and that their trouble was happening is now that space has been changed into something very dramatically relaxed. So I can testify to that.
Right. And I do want to remind people that Darren is giving readings tonight, so you can call in at 760-542-4345. And anyone in the chat room, if you want to ask for a reading from the chat room, please feel free. We say we got Veronica, Aloye, and Kathy Cuz, 711. So if any of you wish to chat in a question, feel free to type, and we'll get Darren to answer the inquiry. So I just want to throw that out there.
Beautiful. Okay. Yeah, It's an interesting topic, and it's not an easy topic. And I want to state this before we continue with the show, is that spirit is not, it's not, there's not a book that says this is how spirits react. Spirits are just like people. They do odd things. All of them are different because they once were people. They once were maybe a number of different people. They were like someone on a soul path that has had a number of different lives. And then when they're in spirit, they're not just that past life that they just lived. They may be a number of their different lives. So dealing with that person and that entity can be uniquely challenging. So there's no rule book on it. But there is some things that you can do. There are some things you can do to keep from maybe having a crazy mishap or maybe upsetting some energies that you don't want to upset, or maybe getting yourself in a position where you're just not comfortable. So there's ways to avoid that. And, you know, and certain times you could do everything that I'm suggesting and you'll still have some issues. And why is that? Because I don't have all the answers. You know, yogis that sit on the mountains in India don't have all the answers either. You know, not all of them. Okay, they're spiritual mysteries for a reason, but I can tell you that certain things are better left alone in a situation
right.
where you're dealing with heavy energies.
Let's go
yeah.
into that for just a second, Darren, because you have experience going out with some of these television shows, and you decided that you maybe thought that wasn't the best direction to do because you felt like they were just trying to sort of stir the spiritual pot and provoke a response rather than being respectful about it.
Right.
Could you maybe go into that a little bit?
here's what's funny. So I was sitting with the family and we're watching Ghost Adventures last night. Okay. So Ghost Adventures in particular. Now they came into my store maybe when like 3 months ago or something, and they're like, "Oh, Zach so and so from Ghost Adventures." I'm like, "Oh, really? Seriously?" With the gelled up hair, like, oh my gosh, like. So, but the thing is, I would love to have talked to him because I would have said, "Is it your producer or is it you?" Because what makes you think that going up into an attic where someone hung themselves, putting a prop noose up right where they hung themselves, and saying, "Is this where you killed yourself? Why'd you kill yourself? You know that's a cowardly way to go. Do you like me? Do you not like what I'm saying? Does that mean you're a coward?" I can tell you that the odds that this person and his co-stars on the show, the other two guys, the fact that they probably, I mean, if they're going to legitimate science, and a lot of them do look legitimate, they look like they're doing this legitimately, they probably have had mediums and intervention working to stop some fallout from this. I mean, they just have to. Because these spirits are not going to sit around and just be taunted like that. It's just crazy. And what they're doing is everything they can do to get a response for TV. Which is great for TV, but the damage they're doing to these earthbound spirits, the damage they're doing to themselves, I mean, somebody brought up, my wife the other night, or last night, she said, "Look at the Crocodile Hunter." You know, SNL used to do little skits about the Crocodile Hunter. And like, oh, you know, well, here's a funny skit. Oh, and then the crocodile eats him. And everybody laughed, and it's a joke. And because he never died. Nothing bad ever happened to him, right?
Right.
And then one day.
A stingray, of all things.
Yeah. So these guys, I mean, I'm picking them because they're exceptionally, heinously obnoxious about it. They will go... they'll go to that place where that old crazy man chained some lady to a radiator, and they'll be like, "Hey, you big coward, how dare you chain a lady to a radiator? How'd you like it if I chain you to a radiator?"
There was one, and it's these guys, I don't remember the show, but they were kind of like muscle-bound kind of jocks, and they're like, "I'm not a pretty,
that's
come
what
on,
I'm, talking
come
about,
on.
Exactly.
I'm a man," you know. I'm just like, come on. Like he's trying to get into a fight with a ghost. You know.
We should call it like Douche Adventures instead. I think that instead of Ghost Adventures, that would be better. But I'm just looking.
More accurate.
And if you guys are listening, I'm sorry. I'm not. You know, look. It's just you really should take a more even for paranormal investigation. You're really pushing the envelope. And yes, you're trying to get good TV. You're trying to get the spirits to react. But in the meantime, you're poking the tiger. And it's not good for the tiger, and it's really, I would say it's really not good for you. I would be really shocked if they haven't had to hire people in my field, like, to really help either clear them or protect them from fallout from this.
Two shows.
Now, they're getting in a car or a plane, and they're leaving that space, but spirits don't see it as that. They can go wherever they want.
And
they can go to your house.
Sure. They attach to your energy as well as they might attach to a place. Again,
yeah,
the movie Poltergeist.
Time and space is not... Well, time maybe, but space... I mean, you know, New England's just as close as L.A. to them. They don't care.
Yeah. Now, they may, like I said, some spirits are attracted to a locale for various reasons, trauma where they were at or whatever. But even as the movie Poltergeist had covered, they tried to get away from them and move somewhere else. And the one guide said... It's you. It's your family they're attracted to. It's the energy of the family unit they're attracted to. You know, and so they're like, oh,
right.
Okay. Now,
I'm telling you, I lived through some harrowing, harrowing stuff in Savannah as a young, like, upstart medium. And I did some things that I didn't think that I would never replicate. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. Just because you can open a gateway and talk to whoever, doesn't mean you should. So seances and stuff like that should be, you know, approached with very high caution, you know.
I've had people ask me if I would do a seance. I said, I'll do a divination. I said, I think the problem is with group seance is it's more of a gag or something. I said, it's, I mean, you can even safely use a Ouija board. It's just a board with numbers and letters
on it. If they say Ouija board, I'm out.
But listen to me. But what I'm saying, though, when you have a group stance environment.
If that's part of the deal, I wouldn't even talk to them anymore about it.
But what I'm saying is that, and I don't, but I think you can use a Ouija board safely, just like you use any divination tool safely.
I disagree.
When you're in.
And we're colleagues. We're welcome to disagree with each other. But I will tell you, and this is what I know, and this is what I believe, and it doesn't matter if you disagree with me, that I'm totally okay with that. But as far as what my experience is and what I believe, a Ouija board is the next closest thing to taking a hot poker out of a fire and sticking it up into the air and saying, hey, what's your name? Are you dead? Do you know Elvis? Like, you know, it's like running up to somebody on the street, slapping them in the face, and then asking them a question.
Okay.
You think they're gonna, now, that person might still answer your question, and they might answer it in a nice way. But what are the odds that that's going to happen?
Right. Let me explain.
Now, they might not haul off and punch you in the face, or they might. They might just say, my name is this, and be done with it and keep on moving. And luckily, for most people, that's what happens. But some people, a lot of people have had bad experiences for a reason. There's a reason there's that stigma.
Okay, but can I explain my position? Now, first of all, I don't own or use a Ouija board. I guess I'll clear that. But let me explain that at the end of the day, it's a board with symbols and numbers on it with a movable piece, the planchette from which you get your message. I mean, the problem is with Ouija boards is, to me, not the medium itself all by itself for what it is. It's how it's used. It's used in a very obnoxious way, going to the graveyard and going, is anybody out there, you know, like you said. I think if you use it and treat it literally like a divine religious tool, like a pagan of some faith might do, and like they create it and they cleanse it and they treat it in a certain way, and maybe it gets a special cloth or box, and they're using the messages appealing to, say, their goddess or god, and saying, asking for a message, then to me, used like that, it's like any other divination tool. So I guess I should clarify that. Used in seance form, I think it's
I think we're going to have to just agree to be standing on the opposite side of the main street on this one, buddy, because I just
That's
don't.
Fine.
I think it's a clumsy tool. I think it's clumsy, and I think because of that, it irks spirits. It pounds them in the face and demands a question. It doesn't appeal to them in a passive way, or there's no humility. It's like, hey, you, answer this question.
Say something. Yeah.
So you're going to get, now that's by my experience, by my, you know, what I've read, experienced, other people I've talked to, you know, if I could combine that all into a dissertation about Ouija boards, my conclusion would be, my hypothesis, my theory would be that they're a tool that wouldn't recommend anyone to use. There are other forms of divination that are just as accurate, helpful, and positive without risking the chance of a lot of negative things happening.
And I think part of the appeal of the Ouija board, when it falls into favor, it kind of comes in and out. Part of the appeal of it is the show aspect of it, because you can take people that are completely untrained, they'll start moving this thing around, and it will move for them. It'll move. You know, a spirit will move it. And it has that shock value, whereas, say, becoming a great tarot reader or oracle reader is a bunch of studying. You know what I mean? So you're not getting this instant sort of, wow, it moved. Even a total atheist using a Ouija board have used it. I've seen in experiments. A bunch of kids that didn't believe they were college kids did not believe in
it. Maybe that's part of why I'm so vehemently against it. And maybe that's just, I get a lot from my spirit guide about this, because it's just used by people that don't know what they're doing. So that can be another part of that demographic pie chart that says, look at all these bad things that happen to people given this situation. It's because they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that goes lumps into your category of saying, yeah, I get where you're coming from. If someone, but most people that I know that use sanctified divination, and they would never pick a Ouija board. I don't know anybody that would. I just don't. I know people that use crystal boards and other things. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, I will use a sketch of someone's house to find, and I will use it as a map and use like a pendulum to find something that's lost or a will that's lost. But a lot of times I can just ask my spirit guide, but that's me. I don't know. I kind of am a little bit black and white on that one, but I'm sure that there's some gray areas that I just don't know about, I'm sure.
Right. And it's okay to disagree. I'm well aware that most people aren't comfortable, including longtime, you know, witches and mystics and guides and
I'm one of them. I'm one of them.
I was just saying, in theory,
you know,
as a boy,
it may have been in the last 200 years. In the last 200 years, that we've pushed this sort of thing into the realm of the negative. You know, maybe before the Victorian era and before that sort of thing, maybe Ouija boards were, you know, totally something in a positive realm. But the thing is, a lot of the spiritual entities that they're calling up, from what I can tell, from what my experience is, they're not happy about answering to a Ouija board. They're not. It's like an insult.
It makes me think, well, in ancient China, they had an automatic writing tool that was simpler, that was similar to like an early planchette, which is that piece on a Ouija board. And it was kind of
mm-hmm.
used as like an automatic writing tool. So that's like an ancient one I could think that was maybe similar. And it was, I think it took more than one person to operate. It was a pretty wild thing if you were to see a picture of it.
Okay, there you go.
So,
and maybe that has a connotation of reverence. But what we're seeing, and this is what we may be getting, is because of a lot of the earth, and we are talking about earthbound spirits tonight.
Right.
They may be from an era that is familiar with early somnambulism, turn of the century, you know, fortune tellers and hoo-ha people and whatnot. And this may be the generation that you're linking into when you decide to pick up a Ouija board. And maybe they're not happy about the fact that somebody's dipping around in something like that. You know? They're not,
right.
I think that if you're going to call a spirit, you better have a good foundation in self of a spiritual focus, some sort of, this is what I believe in, and have that foundation, and then approach it from that aspect. Do not go in haphazardly with something you barely believe in, like a Ouija board. Just, you get my point, like,
oh yeah,
people
it's
that
used
use
so much
Ouija
as
boards
a game.
Don't barely believe in them either.
Yeah. And the interesting thing, again, is why I brought up the Ouija board a little bit in this, or wasn't afraid to, is because we're talking about communicating with earthbound spirits. And I remember an old spiritual teacher of mine years ago, who was a lady that didn't like the boards either, used to say, she used to put it exactly like this. She said, you're talking to what she called base level of spirit communication. And she's like,
base level.
It's like, meaning, I guess what she meant by that, or she said it something.
I know exactly what she meant, but say it for the audience.
Yeah, and she kind of meant like, if you're in a really bad neighborhood, you can run into really good people, but it's like being in a really bad neighborhood. You might run into the nice little old lady in that bad neighborhood, but you also might, you know, run into, you know, the street gangs that are hanging out there, you know,
she's,
like you said.
Right,
the little,
she said it in even better way than I said it. I would even say, you know what, I might use that as an analogy next time. The neighborhood, because you're not, it's clumsy. Higher level energies don't even recognize it. Now, if something's really dying to get in, like say your mother or say something else like that, then it's certainly possible that she could come through visually. But she'll probably be annoyed that you went through a Ouija board to ask for when you could have just sat there and say, hey, Mom.
Right.
You know, because what you're going to do is make her walk through that bad neighborhood to come through the damn Ouija board.
You're going to have to roll the windows up or lock the doors.
Yeah. You want to make your mom do that? That's not cool.
The roughest part of town.
You think she's going to be happy when she comes and finally gets there? You're like, hey, Mom, could you don't go down to the corner store and give me a 40? Like, you know, like that. You don't want to do that to your mom. You just don't want to do that. It's not nice. not a nice thing to do. I don't know.
Again, to the chat room, I just want to make sure the chat room is working because last week it stopped working. So if anybody can hear me in the chat room, if you happen to be near the typing board.
Apparatus.
Keyboard. If you happen to be near, if you could type something just to let me know it's still working, that's fine. I just wanted to throw that out there as well. But again, and I'll end my argument here, and then we can go on to something else. I was saying that it can be used as another religious divination tool if done with reverence and respect. And I was talking about with communicating with a deity and just using it as another physical tool for that. You know,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
And an outhouse can be used as a snowboard. I wouldn't try it, however.
I'm not even saying I have. I'm just saying.
Okay, no, I know what you. Anything's possible. I just want to say that on my end, I would just say use something else. Sometimes I get weird about pendulums. Because you ask somebody to move a pendulum, who are you asking to move it?
Right.
You know, you're
like,
asking for an answer. You're asking, when you have a pendulum in your hand, ladies and gentlemen, you are saying, okay, please answer this question. Who are you asking? Please clarify who you're asking when you use a pendulum, everyone, because somebody has to move that pendulum so that way you get your answer.
I'm always appealing to one of the deities when I do it. Now, I don't use a pendulum often, but when I have, it's an appeal to one of the deities. I'm not asking.
I ask my spirit guide because my spirit guide is like, you know, my spirit guide, I ask questions all the time.
For that.
You know, so that's my thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, spirit guide that you trust and have worked with is a good example too, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's that. I mean, but, you know, I'm still okay with pendulums. I feel okay about pendulums. It's Ouija board. I don't know. I guess I'm not going to go into some of my weird, but I had some crazy, real crazy, which you were roommates when I was 19, 20, or 21. So we all studied esoteric science, but, you know, they were one of those people that, let's use this, let's do things with this Ouija board. I'm like, you guys, But you live and learn. You live and learn.
And we have a caller here.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go ahead and take this number, 618. Welcome. 618,
Area
Kevin.
Code 618.
Yes, this is you.
Hey, in the other chat room, they're asking they want to know what the difference is between a ghost and a spirit.
And Kevin, before anybody answers, the chat room I have, it looks like nobody's typing anything. I don't know. It froze on us last week, so I just was curious if it's frozen.
Yeah, no, we got looks like 5 people in there.
Okay.
Okay. You want me to feel that?
It was Veronica. It was Veronica that was wanting to know what the difference is.
To me, as far as everything that I know about mediumship and somnambulism and spirituality, a spirit and a ghost, as far as what anybody that I've interacted with or any sort of text that I've read, I mean, the term's interchangeable in different ways. I don't really use the word ghost because that implies a visual that gives, you know, like Halloween in bed sheets and stuff like that. A spirit is simply what animates your body, the bioelectric energy, and your soul combined together to animate your body. Where does that go when your body dies? That's what we're talking about. Now, if you want to call it a ghost, call it a ghost. I think that when we think about situations where people say, "Ooh, I saw a ghost," you know, that brings to mind a spirit that seems addled or not in control of their faculties. They seem a little lost. I'm a ghost. I don't know where I am. Okay. So that's where we see that sort of thing. However, in spirits can be that way. They can be very lost. However, some spirits are very clear in what they want. They want you out of the house. They want you bugging with their house. They don't want you there. Some spirits have a definite message. Look for the will. It's under Aunt Martha's couch. then you can keep the house and get the bank off your back. You know, like, that, there's a definite message there. Sometimes the message is, it's Joey's baby and it's not yours, so don't marry that girl. You know what I mean? So
right.
I would definitely not call those spirits a ghost, because they're not wandering around going, woo, and, you know, banging on walls. They're not. They have a definite message. And if there is any wall banging, that might be the precursor to actually getting that message out. Here's the problem. I think some spirits cannot affect matter in a way that's very pronounced. I think some spirits can't affect audible messages the way they would like to. Some people are more prone or more gifted in hearing these things. I am maybe one of them compared to some people. You know, Kevin Baird is another one. Daniel, you probably are as well. I've seen spirits very clearly since I was a young boy, and by 9 years old, I was very clear that I was seeing like a fully realized vision of my great-grandfather who had just recently passed away. And he had some very clear things to say to me. And it's just, it's the kind of thing that, it's a life-changing situation when you see that. And what I call my great-grandfather, who appeared to me with some very clear messages, who used to tell me not to sit in his chair, and you know, like, had something very clear and inspirational to tell me, would I call him a ghost? No, probably not. I wouldn't. But then in that respect, should I be calling somebody that's, like, lost in an airplane terminal and they can't find their plane and they had a heart attack there right before they died and you still see them in an airplane terminal, would I call that person a ghost? I don't know. Maybe because you don't know them, they're a ghost.
Terminal spirit.
A terminal spirit. Right.
Oh, I don't have my cymbal and snare near me either.
I know, you need your cymbal for that one. That's... That would be good if you had it. Does that answer the question from? I can't get the chat room up. I keep trying to do this. I don't know what's going on. So one day.
Veronica says thanks for that.
Oh, okay, good. Good. Thank you, Kevin.
Veronica is listening to us from the UK. It's 1 a.m. in the morning there for her, or almost.
Ah. Okay.
I'm seeing, and just as I'm saying this, can I now see the chat room? And it says, good, Kevin. Thanks, Kevin. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, that's where, you know, I mean, it's difficult, I think, I think spirits are as diverse as human beings, again. We see that a lot of the experiences you have don't run concurrently with other things that you've read and that sort of thing, and that goes... That goes without saying. They're just as diverse as people. The spirit that I had to ask to be lifted from the house I was hired to just explore and give my spiritual assessment of. I mean, this guy was there for, he was there for 200 years or maybe more than that. And it was because it was a Union camp. You know, for this, during the Civil War, and he was some sort of indentured servant. He was a mixed color, like a Creole sort of man, kind of reddish hair, kind of like a Malcolm X sort of look to him, very light skin, though. And he had been throttled by one of the Union commanders, so he couldn't speak. But that's why when you would walk through the room that was right on top of where he used to till the soil, because they built a $16 million home from the ground up. Right on top of this area. And, you know, they had a ridgeback, you know, a Hungarian ridgeback or whatever, and that dog would not go in. They wouldn't eat his food. People would walk through there, and they'd feel like they were short of breath. They started gasping. And this poor little girl was seeing the spirit all the time, left and right. And she was the one with a little more sensitivity. She was 9 years old. So here, these people, you know, they're just very well off, and there's nothing they can do to help their family, you know, like, what do they do? So they call me in, and I'm very clearly seeing the spirit, and I'm very clearly getting the message that he was throttled and that he wants people to understand what he went through if they're going to be living there, which is basically the place where he lived, worked most of his life, and then he he expired and died. The Civil War came and went, and he had to continue to work there. So I guess the question was, what will they do? Because he just kept appearing in this girl's closet and in her bathroom and, you know, everywhere. So I had to coach her on how to deal with the spirit. And then eventually they had to, you know, I had to go in there and ask him to go into the light. And it was not an easy feat, ladies and gentlemen. It was not.
No.
But I think,
Kevin and Darren, just really quick, I had a call, and I think it's involving my work. I may have to take it for a minute, but I think you two can keep going from here.
Okay, sure.
I should be back in just a couple minutes.
Okay.
All right.
So,
Do you think that between space exists? Like, why is it there? Why is it like a ghost quicksand, if you will? Why does that? Why do they get stuck there? Why was it created? How did it come into existence?
Sheol, purgatory, or just simply that earthbound in between. It's there to prove a couple different things. First of all, that there is a reason for the spirits. And this is purely my opinion, and this is an amalgamation of like everything I've read, everything I've experienced, and everything that I believe. But I can tell you that I think it's there for a couple different reasons. It's there first to prove to the spirits that have lived, that may have been ripped from their body very quickly, that there is a reason for their life. That's why they're alive. You know, that's why they lived, is that they can look back and see that maybe they need some closure and they didn't get it before they died, and maybe that's where they get that closure. And until they get that closure, maybe they need to hang out for a minute till they're done. Now, the other end of it, and I think the more important end, is for the people like us that are alive that would never believe in anything outside of touch, sight, smell, you know, hearing, everything that we need to live without, supernatural phenomena. Because if you think about it, most of what we experience is not a message from heaven, it's a message from where? Sheol, or purgatory, or, you know, now it may be a message from heaven. I believe that my great-grandfather came from something higher, some higher plane of existence. But a lot of what we see visually, a lot of what we experience audibly or kinetically by touch, we feel something grab us in the bathroom. I don't think that person, that's a message from heaven. What do you think, Kevin?
No, I think it's one where, Bob Hickman explained it as sort of like vultures waiting on a wire in a common roadkill place. You know, they're up there high, not really doing much, watching everything. And then when an opportunity happens, they swoop down and interact. And then when it's cleared, they go back again.
But go back to where? Sheol? Or you're saying they're on high as a higher energy plane?
I would say that they just go to a neutral corner or a neutral space to where, like, it might be the stone part of the building, or it could be like a closet that doesn't get a lot of activity, or up in the attic or something like that. But there's something that they get validation for. They are satisfied because of some interaction. And so long as they are feeding on that and it is satisfying them, they're going to hang around. It's like, you know, psychic or energy vampires, where they're so sustained by having people be locked in their grip while they're sucking their energy away, and that they can't do anything about it, and they're just living life large, enjoying this opportunity to where these people can't escape.
Yeah,
them.
But there's a reason for that. That's why when I go into like a space, if I'm like really inspecting it or going in there, I'm looking for the reason. Like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is this happening? Why was this person who was once alive, how have they become this sort of incubus sort of creature? Or succubus, or, you know, male or female. I mean, like, what is going on with them? Why did this happen? And how do we stop it? How do we unravel the mystery of this spirit and send them on their way? Because there's got to be some reason, you know? There's got to be some reason that crabby, you know, 52-year-old guy goes to the goth club, you know, with his Nine Inch Nails shirt and tries to hit on the 18-year-old girl. You know, like, why is he doing this? You know, if it's a spirit, there might be a spirit doing this. You know, I don't know. There's a reason for this.
Well, I just happen to have a Nine Inch Nails T-shirt, and I am 52.
Wow.
That's hysterical.
You're not 52. Child.
Hello.
You're...
There's dialogue coming in there.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I mean, you know, there's a reason for everything. That's why when I say let's lift a spirit into some higher, in the light, or let's guide it, that's what we have to figure out. Well, what, when I faced that challenge at that house, I mean, these people were beside themselves, and I was like, what do I do? Because I also knew, too, that if they didn't go with what I was talking about, they might call in some heavy-hitting paranormal investigators, and then nothing's going to happen. These people are going to come in with EKG meters and, you know, thermal, you know, devices that are going to measure, you know, temperature and stuff, and they're just going to tell them that, yeah, there's activity here, okay? Yeah, we know that. We got that. They actually had the woman, the wife there, she had a friend that was a medium, too, and we got on the phone, and we were both blown away that we'd seen the same redheaded Creole man, like the same exact thing, and we had a lot of the same stuff to say. It was, like, amazing. So when you get that validation, you know there's something dramatic happening there. So it's just getting that, like, okay, what did he want? And you give that spirit what they want. If it's at all possible, it may not be possible. And then ask them, okay, you want to go now? Time to go. Wrap it up. Hmm. And you just hope for the best at that point. And there's a way to do it, of course, you know, but you just, that's what you got to do, in my opinion.
And again, I'd like to remind people in the chat room that now I apparently stumbled my way back into, that Darren is... still, there's about 27 minutes left, so please chat a question if you want a reading, or feel free to call in if you'd like a reading as well. And Darren is a professional reader at Marivaville's House of Voodoo in New Orleans. So,
Let me
throw that back out there. 760-542-4345 is the number.
And if you want a private reading, you can reach me at dbucare, that is dbucare, and that is at gmail.com as well. So what do you think of my whole, like, that's how to approach it sort of ideology?
Well, if that works for you, I would say proceed. For me, whenever I interact with people in, you know, the other place, that when they connect with me, I see them trying to sort of like see Paris on a weekend kind of experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What was that?
Well, okay, if they're contacting you, but I'm like talking about if there's people that want to, they're having trouble in their house. So you're saying that if they're just, there's a spiritual agency contacting you, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's different. Yeah.
We have a caller now.
Oh, okay.
Hold on a second. 928. 928, hold on, your microphone is spinning. And you just dropped off, 928. Try calling back. But Jesse and Nicholas George asked for a reading in the chat room, Darren.
Okay. Did she say what she wanted me to focus on, or just...
A general message.
Okay, general message, okay. All right. Just one moment. I'm going to take a look for Jesse Ann. I want to cycle into her energy. General message for her. One moment. Yeah. I got two things. Okay. I saw pinpoints of light, like little metal rods. And they were just shooting out all around her. These are like acupuncture pins, okay? And meaning there's a little pain involved. but they're manipulating and they're redirecting her energy, her bioelectric energy of her life. So this is a vision that I got from my spirit that this seemed a little uncomfortable to me. I think that, that she's working on some amazingly, I say bioelectric because I'm saying that there's something powerfully electric in what these metal rods represent, and they represent her opening pathways up for change, spiritual enlightenment, and also expansion in her own personal repertoire of client base and that sort of thing. These are great, but they're a little painful right now because they're a little demanding. I also, and then I picked the card, and I got the Ten of Wands. So, hello. It's the exact same thing. You're doing too much. Pare it down. I think sometimes we need time. I've spent a little extra time on the last 2 weeks of being at home, more like family stuff, a little less client stuff. And, you know, I think that's okay. I think that it's good to, you know, it's a little less ridiculous here in the summer because it's so hot. But I can tell you that, that sometimes we need that, that quiet time, that mental time to just regroup and recalibrate. I think that a couple of those metal rods can be taken out because they're hitting nerve centers. And I think that the Ten of Wands, even if you can handle it, isn't exactly necessary. When you get the Ten of Wands, again, everyone, the Ten of Wands is structures, plans, organizations for the future, but Wands are, Ten of Wands is, it's too many. You got a lot. You're carrying a big burden. And if you're dealing with the family and the relationship and all sorts of extraneous, like, professional focuses, that can be a little too much sometimes. And we're losing focus of what our soul needs, which may just be time to sit and stare at the river. You know? Because I do that sometimes. Stare at the river.
At the Gulf.
At the Gulf. Well, no, the Mississippi. The Mississippi River. Tom Sawyer, buck fin, all that stuff. I actually went crabbing yesterday, which is you tie chicken, I guess, to a string and throw it in and wait for crabs to grab it and you pull it out.
That's
very interesting. Local custom. It was cool. It was cool.
Yeah, I was.
So I enjoyed it.
Okay, and there's another question in the chat room, Darren, and that last one was for this one is from Lachey, and she says, I work as an independent contractor, and the hours are part-time. I'm looking for a stable job career, but want to keep this one. Do you see any career opportunity coming up and what it may entail?
Okay. So, can you read that back to me?
Okay.
Do you mind?
Works as an independent contractor, but is also looking for something a little more stable, I guess, to help pay the bills.
Okay. Right,
and
right.
Curious if something would come up to help with that.
Mm-hmm.
But while still keeping some of this independent contractor status, basically, I believe is how I'm reading
it. Okay. Okay, one moment. Something a little more stable.
Her name is Lachey.
Okay. Okay. Good. I first got the feeling from my spirit guide there's something organizational or clerical or something where you can add to a situation by using your organizational skills, maybe a little marketing, maybe a little sales, but mostly, you know, it's I don't want to say clerical like secretary, but I want to say that there's some organizational aspect to it that you will help somebody else with. And then I pulled the Two of Pentacles, so that's you spending some of your time with someone else and balancing what their financial needs are and what their space is with what your needs are. Meaning, their financial needs are going to be yours on some level. You may have to, like, throw in your personal investment will probably be your time. So, again, you're doing consulting, but you may have to get in and help somebody organizationally with their business in a way that you're donating your time, but at the end of the day, you're going to get a steady paycheck. So, you know that friend that has their own business where you could go in and kind of help them kind of tidy up everything? Get involved with that person because now you might not figure it out right away. You might not know who this is immediately, But if I'm getting the Two of Pentacles and I'm getting the message that I'm getting, it's pretty clear that at some point very soon, you'll figure out a good niche where you can kind of jump in and help somebody fix what's going on in their business and then also get a steady paycheck.
Now all of a sudden the readings are coming in. We have still about 20 minutes left. And Veronica in the chat room would like a general message reading as well. She just
said, okay.
A Quinn, the one from the UK, and she would like a general message.
Did we get a... Or she just said, okay. Thank you.
Oh, okay. She said, okay, thank
You're
you.
You're welcome, Lachey. You're welcome.
I just saw it.
Now that I figured out how to use the chat room.
No kicking.
Right, no kicking. I swear I thought that was, I thought that was like a poke. I didn't
like
know what that was.
Or, yeah, some cute, fun,
yeah,
goofy.
Like just, you know,
you're
trying
like,
to poke at fun, but I didn't realize what it meant. I had no idea. I'm so
it's like the new intern that pulls a plug in the hospital, right?
I'm allowed to be tech, like, ignorant. I'm a spiritual person. I'm allowed to.
It's like the new intern that pulls the plug in the hospital.
Right. It's okay. They're new. So that's, you know.
Yeah.
Those people wanted to ascend anyway. They're okay. They're safe.
Right.
Okay, one moment.
That's the part of life. And I do see we have a caller as well.
Show me. Hey. Oh, good. Okay. Veronica, you're learning that you need to be doing what I'm doing right now. You need to send out your energy. You may have to do energy work for people. If you've never tried Reiki or any sort of energy work, you need to try. I saw a vision of someone holding out their hand and their hand just being kind of bathed in energy and just power coming out of it. It might not be energy work. It might just be counseling or something where you're doing something to help people on their spiritual path. You're giving back, but you're being rewarded exponentially for this sort of thing. I think that it's beautiful. I think that there are ways that you don't have to sit on the sidelines with a conversation like this that you're listening to. You should be a part of it. I think that the messages you're getting are not just passive messages. They're very concrete. They're very intrinsic to who you are, and I think that they should be shared. Now, find a small outlet. Find something small you can either start with if you haven't already, because the card I'm getting for you is the world, and the world is this wonderful, you know, place that I go that I could get to share my energy. I have this wonderful coffee shop where I get a chai latte. I like reading, and I go get my Kindle, and I go outside, and it's this beautiful palatial area where I can look at nature, and, you know, things are just coming together in a synchronistic way. It's beautiful. You want to share that with the world, and it's being validated in your spirit that you know you're moving forward towards something positive. So I think, Veronica, that's something you need to do, is either heal people with your energy or heal them with your thoughts and help them on their path. And I think that's wonderful. If you've been toying with the idea, stop toying with it. I got a concrete message about it.
Okay. So getting involved, become a reader or a practitioner yourself.
It might be something a little more obscure than what we do, per se. It might be something, you know, in that realm of it could be, you know, homeopathic, you know, nutrition or something like that. So.
All right. And, Darren, we have a caller, and we got about 16 minutes left. I'm going to go to 917.
Hello.
On the air.
Hey, hello. Can you hear me? Hi, how are you?
Yeah.
Good. My name is Ashiel. I called you guys before, but I think I spoke to Kevin, you know.
Okay.
And he gave me a reading back then, and I wasn't working. And he told me that I was going to get a job, you know, within a week or so. And sure enough, within a couple of days, I got an offer for a business partnership. That's on track now. I have a business now. Now I'm trying to work in the love area, so I'm trying to see what I see coming up for me.
what's coming up for you?
Yeah, I mean, is anybody coming? You know, I won't start dating now because for the last 4 months I've been concentrating on just my business.
Right. Oh, okay. So something new in the romantic genre, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you feel like your energy is open to it?
Yeah, I am. Yeah,
I mean, you can be open in your mind. I just want you to know, I'm just telling you, open your energy too. So hopefully you have. I mean, I'm not saying you haven't. I'm just saying that that's part of it too.
I just feel maybe it was the timing before it was the right, it wasn't the right timing, I think. I have to just focus on the business.
How about this? I'm just saying this, and I'm just, this is intellectually and not spiritually. I'm saying that we might make the decision that, okay, now I'm ready for a relationship in our mind, but we didn't do anything to change the outside of our energy to let everybody know.
Okay.
So, like, when I did, when I moved back here, I was like, because I just, I know Kevin and Daniel from the D.C. area, but I just moved back to New Orleans, and I got back here, and I got ingrained, and I got my career moving again here, localized.
Okay.
And then once I was settled in for about a year, I said, okay, now it's, I'm ready to share my life with somebody. And I did a whole little thing to kind of open my energy up. So that's, I think that's part of it too, you know? I'm just saying, I'm not saying you haven't done anything like that. So, okay.
No, no, I totally understand.
Okay, yeah. Okay, 1 second. Would you say your name again? I'm sorry.
Ashil, A-S-H-I-L.
Okay. Okay. This is what I got coming up for you. Okay. I don't think you're a bad looking person. I don't think that you have too much trouble in getting some attention. Okay. This is the thing. I think that the next thing that's coming down the road here is the Six of Wands. That means your plans for the future, you're going to feel like this is really coming together. Okay. What would that be? Well, we're talking about relationships, right? So what would you be standing on a stage saying, hello, thank you everyone for congratulating me. I'm so happy that I accomplished this. If we're talking about relationships, it probably means that you start dating somebody who's pretty attractive, who you feel like would make a perfect match for you, who maybe is, you know, if you have, do you want to date somebody of a certain ethnicity? Is that part of it?
No, I'm open. I'm pretty open.
You're open?
Just,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, it seems like this person's perfect right off the rip, okay?
Okay?
It seems like, oh, my gosh, I'm so happy about this. This is great. Thing is, she's a little emotional, a little over-emotional. She's showing up as the Queen of Cups, inverted. She's vibrating on some weird emotional levels. She's very emotionally maybe needy, a little demanding. This is what you got to think. Do I want to deal with this person? Because you begin to feel like this is the perfect person for you. So here's the problem. Do you want to have to deal with that emotional kind of substructure of this relationship all the time? Can you handle that? And here's the question. Have you handled it before in the past? Because if you have, then maybe it's just something you're used to dealing with, and it's okay.
I have had this in the past, but, I mean, what I really ask the universe, to be honest with you, is just somebody who compatible with me, you know, in terms of career and then, you know, smart and all that kind of stuff.
I think she's got all that. I'm saying that she's just a little emotionally just kind of vibrating all over the place a little bit. And maybe that's okay. You know
what?
Problem solver. I can handle it. That's what I do.
Yeah,
I solve problems for a living. So maybe you're one of those people too. I don't know.
Yeah, but at the same time, we both know there's no such thing as perfection. There's always going to be things you're going to have to compromise. You know what I mean?
I'm saying that maybe this is an okay thing for you. I'm saying she shows up as the queen. Do you know what that means? She may be vibrating a little weird, but she's still showing up as your queen. Not a princess, not a herald, not a knight, not anything else. She's showing up as a queen. That means that you still feel like you want to be her king. You know what? Sometimes when you get a card like the Six of Wands, and we're talking about relationships, you get a card like that, it means like you just feel like you just had a major victory.
Yes.
And you don't get that a lot when you ask about relationships unless you really feel like this is somebody that's attractive, that you like, that likes you, and everything's coming together. So you know what? Maybe it's great. Are you going to have to maybe take her out and get her a couple of glasses of Prosecco on occasion? Well, you might have to.
Okay.
Nothing wrong.
But when is that coming?
Let me ask. Hold on. I'll ask my spirit guide. All right, I'm feeling like closer to mid. It's between mid August to early September. It's edging in the fall. Here's the thing: don't waste. I feel like you might waste 2 to 3 weeks on some BS where you talk to each other. So this must be like an online thing or something. I don't know. Don't waste time talking to each other so much. Just go out. You say, hey, let's go out. Don't beat around the bush so much about it. You're going to waste a month and a half doing that.
No, because in the past, my problem was I'm so direct. You know, like, let's do something.
Then beat around the bush, whatever the case may be,
because it looks good to me anyway.
It just looks a little challenging, but I think you're like me. You're a problem solver. You can handle it. I think you
totally
can.
Yeah, I am a problem solver. I mean, I'm solving problems every day of my business.
I can hear it in your voice, and I feel it in your energy from what I just looked at. So I'm going to say go ahead, because the thing is, she shows up as a queen. So you must want, you know, I don't want to sound like Teddy Pendergrass, but if you want somebody as your queen, you know what I mean? That's it. So that's good. That's good.
I'm ready for it anyway, so I'm ready for the challenge.
If there's a couple different ladies, if you're on one of these sites and a couple different ladies seem like they're a pretty decent fit, then send out the message, say, hey, I'd like to go out with you, you know, and you'll know, it'll pare down to just one, and you'll know who it is by who I'm talking about. By sometime in August, you'll be like, oh, okay.
Oh, so you basically what you're telling me is I'm going to be dating a couple of people first. Before.
No, I'm not saying you're dating a couple people. I'm saying don't read too much into it. I'm saying that you will be talking and maybe messaging a couple people on one of these weird websites or whatever. Not weird websites, but you get my point.
Well,
I
don't even do the website thing, so I don't know. Maybe I will. I don't know if I'm not doing
it. I feel like you will. I'm just saying. You're going to put yourself out there, too. You're not one of those people that can't go out, that can't go do stuff. I don't see you as being that. But I see you as tippy-toeing around this situation for a while. That's why I say websites. Maybe it's somebody at work that you possibly could talk to, but you So I'm saying you don't have to waste time with this, but you probably will, and if you feel better about that, then do that. That's okay.
Yeah, I do a lot of things online in my business. I communicate a lot. I do a lot of promotions. So I talk to people through email and stuff.
Right.
And that's what you're picking
right.
up.
And maybe somebody you meet during a promotion, and she's, see, here's the thing. You're into somebody that's got their life together and career together. That's what the Six of Wands means. She's got her own money. She's not trying to take your money. You know, you've been focused on your career this whole time. She's got a lot of the stuff you're looking for. You know, she looks good. She likes you. She has got her own stuff. You're like slam dunk. And then about as we get towards the holidays, she starts acting a little crazy emotional. Okay, you just have to deal with that. That's all. Just be ready. And you know what? The holidays are emotional. Holidays are an emotional time for some people.
I'm sorry.
And she's one of them.
Yeah, well, thanks for warning me. At least when the time comes, I'll be prepared.
Don't be shocked. I mean, but the thing is, you feel like you're already involved enough to say, okay, you'd be like, okay, honey. And by then, it will be honey, believe me.
Okay, let me ask something. When you said emotional, you're talking about needy, or what do you mean by?
Maybe hating you, maybe needing you at the same time. That's what the Queen of Cups inverted. Kevin, help me with the Queen of Cups inverted. Back me up on this.
I had you muted there. It could be that she dabbles in devices. You know, in my opinion, anytime the Cups come into play, especially with it being in the upside down position, she could be coming out of a past to where she decided to put something behind her that she had been really connected to for a while and now is looking for a new direction or something. Because for me, when someone puts a cup upside down, they're ready for it to go into the dishwasher and get it cleaning and cleaned. Uh-huh. That way it's time to have something new go in there. So it also could be that she's going to be looking for someone that might be a rebound, if you understand what that is. So just
she,
be careful.
She's throwing it all in there for you. She's throwing it all in there for you, you know. But it may be very demanding it for a while. So, you know, you know, and I see cups a lot of times. I say, you know, yeah, maybe they want a cocktail. Maybe they want to, you know, relax their emotional, like, intake or just, you know, imbibe. I don't know. I mean, maybe that sometimes that means that they want to relax a lot, you know, and you have to be that person to smooth it over. Because it's their spirit and their emotions.
Okay. And you mentioned the cups with Kevin, and I was saying, and also when it's the Queen of Cups or a King of Cups reverse, I also sometimes say that as a bit of not having faith because of something bad from the past. So the cup's empty, and you're the one filling it now. So it's up to you to sort of turn that back right side
right.
up.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly it. Mm-hmm. You better get right. That's what I'm saying. I just said it too, like needing you and hating you at the same time. That's it.
Okay.
Accusatory. A little insecurity. That's okay, though. Because sometimes it's worth it. It's worth it to take that time with somebody because they needed somebody like you. That's why you are somebody like you. If you had somebody that was perfect and had everything figured out, you may not feel needed. Or you might feel
I was told in the past that I'm a healer also, so maybe that's what comes in part. I don't know. This is crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. I would be happy about this. This is pretty. This is not bad. This might
you
be the perfect.
You would be happy or you would not be happy?
I would be happy with it. Look, you need something
okay.
dramatic.
Okay.
You've been bored for a while. You haven't been doing very much anything. So
okay.
you can take the next magical thing that comes.
Okay.
And this to me is magical. A Queen of Cups is magical. She might scare the pajamas off you a little bit, but that's magical too. You know?
Okay. Well, I'll keep that in mind, and when the time comes, I'll be prepared for it.
Yeah, be you know what? The universe is sending you somebody, so be happy about that.
Yeah,
I could have said no, there's nothing. I could have said there's nothing.
Now you just got to deal with a girl.
but
you're going to keep working, and you're going to talk to women that seem vacant, and you wouldn't give them the time of day. I could have told you that.
Yeah, but you know what's funny though? I feel like somebody's coming. I feel. It's like, I don't know if I was overreacting.
I agree with you. You feel it, and I agree with it. And you know what? One of the best things to do when you're in my field is trust your feelings. And so I'm telling you the same thing. Trust your feelings.
I've been asking the universe for it, just like I've been asking for my business. So
that whole little song and dance that I did with you at the beginning about asking the universe, you had already done that then?
Yeah, no, I'm aware of that. I'm aware that things sometimes you have to leave it to the universe. I mean, you can't, you know, just leave it to the universe and the universe take care of it. And just believe, have faith, and that's what I've been doing, you know.
Good. You know, you had faith with your business, and it worked out. You have faith with this new relationship, and it'll work out. If it's a little challenging, it just means that it'll get you involved sooner, faster.
That's just part of my life challenges anyway, so at this point, I don't know. So
okay.
I always get challenges to deal with. So
I don't see that there's anything wrong with that. So that's good.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
Thank
we'll talk to it, Aaron. Thanks for joining us. 60 seconds left.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to say that raising spirits into a higher light is the easiest thing to do in the world, but do your research. Approach it with caution, but realize that there are people that just are a little bit lost or stuck or have a message to bring in. Maybe you are the recipient for that message, and if so, handle it with care, with caution, and with love. So, again, this is Darren Bucare. If you want to reach me for a reading, at dbucare@gmail.com.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on Spiritual Insight. Have a great evening.
Forbidden Archaeology. forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.